This morning, we are going to be in Genesis chapter 4. So if you want to turn there. This is one of those things, again, that God just begins to lay on my heart. And not so much for me to preach to you, but for me to learn myself. Because this is where I think, and I think if we were all honest, we'd all be at this point. But I think for us, we need to look at this passage. And I want us today to maybe look at it in a little bit different light than we normally do. But as we get into this, I want to present it in a way that not as different. I'm not going to present it any different than probably you've ever heard it. And I'm not asking, you know, God for some type of a miracle to help it be something different than you've ever heard. But I want us to hear what He's got to say to us as individuals. I want us to hear what He has to say for us as a church body. Because if we don't hear what He has to say, then there's no hope of us changing our hearts and our lives to be what He desires. Let's look in chapter 4 of Genesis. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we listen to your word and as we discuss it this morning and we hear what you have for us, Lord, I pray more than anything that your spirit would just take this time, take this message, change me, change each one of us here, that we would hear and understand what it is you have for us. God, I thank you and I praise you for your love for us, for your grace for us, your mercy upon us. Lord, this day, may we just give you honor that you deserve, glory that you deserve, praise that you deserve. God, we are unworthy, but yet you love us. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage, one thing that generally always happens, or I've seen happen many, many times, is when this passage is brought up, people say, well, there's these two brothers. There's Cain that we know, he's popular because of what he did, but they are both the sons of Adam and Eve. Cain is the older of the two. By the point that this story was written, they were older because They were old enough to have jobs. I don't know how old that is, but Abel tended sheep and Cain tilled the soil. But I think one of the problems that we do as we get into this passage so many times is something you and I are guilty of. Because as we look at this passage, we begin to compare Cain and his sacrifice to Abel and his sacrifice. And let this be lesson number one, really quickly and really to the point, that when you and I start comparing what we do for God to somebody else, we lose. Do not ever compare what you do to someone else. God puts Cain in one place. He puts Abel in another place. And if Cain's going to compare himself to Abel, it's not going to work. If he puts me in one place and you in another place and I compare myself to you, it's not going to work. God has put you in a certain place at a certain time to do a certain thing for Him, to bring glory and honor to Him. He may give you gifts to glorify Him in one way. He may put me somewhere else and give me gifts to glorify Him in another way. If we compare those, we are looking at each other. And the moment you and I take our eyes off of God, then I am no longer worried about my offering to God. I am worried about my offering being better than that guy. And when I do that, I've lost. As we look at this passage, I know what Abel did. I know that he had a nice blood sacrifice of the first of his flock. And that's not saying the first ones that were born. That's saying the best. He gave his best, and it was a blood sacrifice, and he offered that to God. But I don't want to jump past some things. We know that he was accepted, and we know that Cain was not accepted, and his offering wasn't accepted. But there's some things in this passage I want you to see. I had looked past them. It tells us that they're both what their jobs are, and then it says, in the course of time, Cain brought. In the course of time. There was a specific time that Cain was supposed to bring this offering. Now, we don't know what that time was, and theologians a lot smarter than me, some of them say that this would have been on a Sabbath because that was when you would come and you would sacrifice. And others say that it was at a certain given time that they had set up to worship, and they were going to come at that point. But it says at a course of time, at a certain time, they brought their offerings. There is a time that you and I are to bring our offerings before God. Now, I'm not talking on Sunday mornings that we pass a plate and you put in your tithes and offerings. That's not what I'm talking about. That's one way. But the New Testament tells us that you are to offer your body. If you're a Christian, you are to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because this is your spiritual act of worship. There is a time that you're supposed to do that. There is a time that I'm supposed to do that. There is an appointed time that I am supposed to offer my body as a living sacrifice. I'm supposed to offer to God everything I have. And so if there was a special time, look at two other things here. It says, in the course of time, Cain brought. And then it goes down. It says, and Abel also brought. They brought it to a specific place. So there was a specific time that they came in the course of time. And they didn't just do it back at the house or out in the field where the lamb was or in the garden where the fruit were. They brought it to a specific place. Because that meant that they were coming to that place specifically to worship God. So there was a time and there was a place. And if there was a time and a place that they were supposed to offer these sacrifices or these offerings to God, then I'm pretty safe to say that there was a way in which they were supposed to offer these. And if there was a way, there might have even been a specific offering. And there are theologians out there that will say it should have been a blood sacrifice, and that is the reason that Cain's was not accepted. I'm not smart enough to say yes or no on that. it's a chance. But there's things out there that we've got to look at that I think are as important as that. Now, we know that as you stop and you look at these sacrifices or these offerings, there's something we need to stop and get up front first. And that is every offering and every sacrifice that is mentioned throughout the Bible points to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His life for my sins and for your sins. If we take any of these offerings as seeing about how good this food is versus this animal, and we lose the fact that it's pointing to the Savior of the world, then we miss everything. We have to understand that every offering, every sacrifice should be pointing to our Savior. People miss that. I've missed that before, looking at the fact that, well, was it this, was it that? And we're going to get into that. But if we miss the fact that Abel's sacrifice was pointing towards the forgiveness of sins, he had evidently been told how to offer a sacrifice. You bring it to this place at this time and you offer it before the Lord on the altar and you give it to Him. And that is not actually going to forgive you of your sins, but it's going to point to the one who can, that's going to come. That's what it's talking about. And so as we look at Abel's sacrifice, I want us also today to look at Cain's. I don't want to compare them because, like I said, you can't compare sacrifices. But I want us to look at Abel's sacrifice. And as we look at it, I want us to see where we're at, where you and I are at today. Like I said, there's a lot of discrepancy on which type of sacrifice Cain was supposed to offer. But it says that when he offered it, said, but for Cain and his offering, God had no regard or no respect, or He didn't accept it. So let's just look for just a second at the offering that he offered up, and maybe we can learn from it. It says that he offered up fruit of the ground. Now there's that opportunity, there's that possibility that he had collected everything he wanted for his table. And he had collected it and he had brought it into his house. And then he went back out and there was food still on the ground, still on the vine. And he took that and offered that to God. He offered his leftovers to God. That food that was still on the ground. Maybe that's a possibility. And the reason I think that was probably a strong possibility was because I know I'm guilty of doing the same thing. And you are too, probably. We offer God our leftovers. Man, God gives us His Son. He sent His Son to die on the cross. And I offer Him my leftovers. Well, I've got a few minutes here. I'll spend this time reading. Or I've got this time here. You know, I might have a little bit of time at the end of Thursday to go out and visit. We'll see how Thursday goes. And if it works out all right, then I'll go out and visit. And I give God my leftovers. Maybe that's the reason that Cain's sacrifice, his offering, wasn't accepted. I don't know that it was. But what if it was the fact that he collected his fruit from the ground and he just brought it in and he just grabbed some of it and he took it and he gave that as an offering? It wasn't the leftover, but it wasn't the best. Man, I am really guilty when it comes to that one. Because there are so many times that, yeah, well, I'm not giving my leftovers, but I'm giving better than that person. But am I giving my best? Am I giving God the best I have? No, because I'm worried about my life. I'm worried about the things that I'm doing. I'm worried about the way my life is going. And I just give God whatever fits at the time. But He desires our best. Abel We know it says He gave the best He had. I'm sure that as they were taught how to offer sacrifices to God, that they were supposed to offer their best. I mess up there sometimes. I'm sure you do too. So maybe it wasn't the leftover fruit, and maybe it wasn't the fact that it wasn't even the best fruit. Maybe it was the fact that it wasn't a blood offering. Because if the time had been told and the place had been told, and maybe God even told him, bring a lamb, that there might be blood, because the Bible tells us later that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And maybe Cain knew that. But he decided, I've worked really hard with my hands to get all this, and so I'm going to give God what I made with my own hands. What I tilled the ground and I planted and I plucked and I brought it up, and I'm going to give God let Him see what I've done with my hands. God doesn't want what I can do. God doesn't want a sacrifice that I think I can make well enough that it was going to do the job. God wanted something that would point to the fact that Jesus was going to eventually be that Savior. Maybe He wanted a blood sacrifice. If He did, I guarantee you that Cain would have known that. So it comes down to his heart. If it was supposed to be those choicest fruits and not just anything, I'm pretty sure that Cain would have known that. Because again, he's not a little kid. He is old enough to till the soil, old enough to follow after his father. And if it was supposed to be the first fruits, and that's what he offered was his best, then why wasn't his sacrifice his offering? Why wasn't it received? Why was it rejected? Why did God not regard it? I think it all goes back to either way. Any of these three things, it comes back to the heart. Because if Cain's heart would have been right, he would have offered what God said. He would have offered his best. And he would have offered it to God in a way that was worshipful. But we can read in this passage that obviously his heart was not right. Because it says when God said he had no regard for Cain or his offering, it wasn't just the offering that God was rejecting. It was Cain. It was his heart. And when Cain found that out, it said Cain became very angry. Why was he angry? Who was he angry at? Have you thought about that? We know later he's angry at his brother. But he's probably angry right here at the fact that his sacrifice, his offering, was not received by God. Well, whose fault is that? We know it's his. But it doesn't say he was angry at himself. Because if he was angry at himself, he would have probably repented. He would have probably confessed. He would have probably brought a better offering. But we don't hear of that. I think he was probably angry at God. Think about this. He does whatever it is to get his food, his fruit, all, and he brings it to a certain place at a certain time, and he lays it there, and God doesn't take it. God doesn't have any regard for it whatsoever. You and I both know people that when something happens in our life that is totally 100% against everything that we would want to happen, there's that little bit of anger. Why, God? Why did you allow this to happen? Why is this going on? Why did this happen, God? And there's a little bit of anger there. God saw that anger. And this I love. Because even though he was upset because his offering wasn't accepted, maybe he was upset because he's looking at Abel's sacrifice and he's looking at his, and Abel's sacrifice was taken and it was accepted, and that's his younger brother, and that just adds fuel to the fire that things happen for other people and they don't happen for you. He wasn't bringing the sacrifice for the right reason. He either brought what he wanted, how he wanted it, or just brought something because that was what you were supposed to do. It was the right time and the right place, so let's just grab something and go, and we'll offer it when we get there. How many times does that happen to us on a Sunday morning? Think about that. We know the time. It's 10 o'clock. We're supposed to be there. 8:45 if it's Sunday school. We know that we're supposed to go, and we're supposed to bring our Bibles and sit there and listen and sing. And we're supposed. And so we did all of that. Why was our offering of sacrifice and praise not accepted? Because we were going through the motions. Man, I walk out of church so many times when I was younger. Not that much younger. It hasn't been that long, but I would walk out of church and think, you know, I'm not any different than I was when I came in here. Why is that? Because I was just going through the motions. I was just going through the motions like Cain was. There's a time and there's a place to go be with people. They expect me to be there. Abel's expecting Cain to be there. His mom and dad may have been expecting him to be there to offer a sacrifice. So, well, I better go. I'll just take something. He's going through the motions. And we see where that got him. But, you know, even with his bad attitude and his anger, it's going to show us the grace of our God. It's going to show you and me the grace of our God. In the midst of those times that our attitude is not right, my God is still God. And my God still loves me. And my God is not going to give up on me. Look at this. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" And he knew. You can't hide it from God. God could tell his face, the countenance on his face had fallen. "Why are you angry?" He gave him an opportunity right off the bat. Tell me what's wrong. Communication with God is never going to lead you in the wrong direction. God is trying to get Cain. Let's talk about it. God wants to know why you're angry. Talk it over with him. Share it with him. Talk with him. He comes to Cain right in the middle of Cain's bad attitude. He says, "Why are you angry? Why is your face fallen?" And then in the midst of Cain's attitude, and this happens a lot, and you hate it as much as I do, when you know you're in the wrong, and God says, "I'm going to give you some advice. If you do well, it will be accepted. If you don't, evil stands at the door. It's out after you. You've got to rule over it." Man, think about that for just a second. God is saying, "Cain, you're upset, but if you do what's right, you'll be accepted." Man, if I'd have brought the right sacrifice, I'd have been accepted by Abel. I'd have been accepted by my mom. No, that's not what he said. If I do what's right, is this world going to accept me? Absolutely not. But if I do what's right, God will accept me. And that's what God was telling Cain. If you do right, you will be accepted by me. Don't worry about comparing yourself to Abel. Don't worry about giving half. Give me what I want. If you do right, you will be accepted. That's pretty good advice today. And then he goes on with the second part of that advice. And he says, if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door. Man, we know the New Testament tells us that that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is just crouching at the door. Sin is crouching at the door. But wait, that said Satan. Is it sin or is it Satan? Satan wants to make sure that sin is there. But if it was Satan, you wouldn't reach out and grab him. But if it's sin, you will. It's like if you have a package sitting outside your door and you walk out and there's a UPS package out there, you reach down and you grab it because it's there. Sometimes we're the same way. We walk out the door and here's this nice looking thing that's very tempting to reach down and grab it. If you don't do what's right, sin is at the door. And it is after you. But he goes on, he says, but you must rule over it. Man, that's telling me right there that I can rule over sin. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying there's a way to rule over it. And it goes back to doing the good, following God, having God help you to rule over it, doing what is right will help you rule over that sin. So here's Cain in the midst of a bad attitude and mad at God. And God comes to him, gives him an opportunity to confess, gives him great advice. And then what happens? Sometimes the same thing that happens to you and me. And I'm not in the mood to hear advice. Have you ever been in that situation where you're just not in the best mood and somebody comes up and they give you some advice? Not right now. I don't want to hear it. I've already made up my mind. I'm going to punch that guy in the face. Don't tell me it'd be better to turn the other cheek because I've already made up my mind. And that's what's happening here with Cain. But God is the one telling him the advice. Do what's right. Rule over sin. Cain doesn't even listen. It says, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. Now that's the nicest way of putting any verse in the Bible. He spoke to his brother Abel. No, they had words. They had an argument. There's a lot of ways you can translate that, but when they say he spoke to his brother Abel, they had some serious, serious words. So his attitude was still wrong. So then when they went out in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Man, he let that bad attitude go, and where did it go? It went from jealousy to anger to murder. Man, he's gone way too far now. God tried to stop him with good advice. God gave good advice, and we don't listen. He's went too far now. Man, he better look out. How did Cain get to this point? He is now a murderer. Think about this for just a minute. This is the son of Adam. This is the son of Adam, the guy that walked in the garden with God. I know when I grew up, I can remember stories that my dad told me about how he walked to school every day in the winter, in the snow, uphill both ways. You've heard those stories, right? They're all there. You know, one time I caught a fish. He could tell some stories. Think about this. Cain gets to hear stories from Adam. Man, when God created all the animals, he brought them to me. And he let me name them. And if I'd have been Cain, I'd have said, Dad, this is a turtle and this is a turtle dove and I don't understand. I would have said something like that. But man, think of the stories that he could have heard from his dad about walking with God in the garden. But he would also had to have heard that story about how, man, we used to live in that garden until your mom and I messed it up. And that all came from sin. You can't tell me that Adam didn't tell Cain and Abel that sin messed it all up. So how does Cain go from that to being jealous and angry and a murderer right before the face of God? The same way you and I do. We take our attitude and we let it fester. We take that one little unconfessed sin in our life and we let it boil. And before you know it, James tells us that desire is there, and then when it's fully grown, it brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. As we look at this, God didn't give up on Cain. Cain rose up and killed his brother, and then it tells us that God comes to him and says, "Where's your brother?" God knew where his brother was. God saw the whole thing. But he was trying to give Cain an opportunity to confess. You look back with Adam and Eve, when they messed up, God said, "What have you done?" Well, it was the woman. And she said, "It was the serpent." He was giving them a chance to confess. When you and I mess up, God gives us a chance to confess. And if we're looking at Him and our heart is right, we will confess. But if we're looking at us and we're looking at the punishment we're going to go through, look what he says down here, what Cain says. "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Man, my punishment is, God, it's not fair. My punishment is too great. Did he ever ask God to take that punishment? Did he ever ask for forgiveness? He was so worried about the punishment instead of the fact that he had messed up. He was looking at the punishment he received, not as what he deserved. And he was looking not at the fact that I deserve this and I could turn. And I could. He asked me what happened. I could just tell him. I got mad. I killed him. He gave him that opportunity and he didn't do it. And then I want to close here with this last little statement. It says that Cain, down in verse 16, "Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord." One of the saddest statements. Man, the son of Adam, the one that knew all about God. God tried to intervene. God gave him rules. God gave him advice. Then when he messed up, God gave him the opportunity to confess. And then what happens? He doesn't. And so it says, Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. No sadder place in the world than away from the presence of the Lord. And he went there by his own choice. There are people today that are dying and going to hell, which is a total separation from the presence of God, and they're going because of their own choice. God gave them the opportunity through the blood of Jesus Christ to have their sins forgiven, to just confess and acknowledge Him as the Lord and Savior, turn their life over to Him. But their heart's not right and they don't want to do it because that's not the way they want to live their life. And so they will spend eternity separated from God. Man, as I look at this whole passage, everything from Cain and Abel's original sacrifice all the way through the grace and the mercy that's offered by God and the choice that's set out there for Cain, I think that's my everyday life. That's your everyday life. Wherever you're at, you've got something to offer to God. Now, if you're a Christian, God has something. He's placed you in that spot. You're a shepherd. You're a tiller of the soil. You're a teacher of the kids. Whatever you are. But God has placed you in the spot and He's given you an opportunity to offer to Him the best you have. But I give Him my leftovers, or I give Him what I want, and I get busy going through the motions. And I'm missing out. And the fact that I'm not offering everything on this altar, everything of my life that I should, there are people out there that are not understanding the grace and the mercy that God offers through Jesus Christ. And when they don't see that, they can't confess. When they don't see that, they can't turn to God. So I want to leave you with this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there was a sacrifice and offering made for you, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of a holy and only God. And He laid that sacrifice down for you so that you could have forgiveness of sins. We say this every Sunday, and you're going to get tired of it, but that's too bad, because that's what it's all about. But you know, there's a lot of times I think, I tell you that you need to accept Jesus. I tell you that He died on the cross for you and He rose again and He's coming back for you. But do I explain that you have to acknowledge Him personally? You have to understand that He did all that for you. You have to confess your own sins. You have to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And we have a song at the end of every service. And maybe I don't make it clear that that's the time that you can come up and do that. Or maybe that's the time you can sit in your pew and do that. But maybe that's my fault, but that's an opportunity you have. But Christians, understand this. You are responsible to lay it all on the altar every single day. And so am I. But sometimes it's just easier to go through the motions. Sometimes it's just easier to leave Him with what's left over. And so I'm going to leave you with some good advice. If you do well, it'll be accepted. If you don't do well, sin will be at your door. You have to overcome it. You cannot do that on your own. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for every sacrifice that was ever offered in the Bible that pointed to You. And Lord, I pray that my life would point to You. That when I lay my life down, that it would point to You, Jesus. Lord, I pray for each Christian in this room and ask that You would help them to glorify You and lay their life down for You daily and give You the best. And God, I pray for every single person in here or listening that is not a Christian. God, that they would understand that You laid down that sacrifice. You laid down Your life for us. And it does no good if we don't accept it, if we don't make it real, if it's not a relationship with You. Father God, I thank You and I praise You for that opportunity to make those requests to You. May You move in this place. In Your precious name, amen.